Ruth chapter 4, part 8, break. We willingly give our lives totally to the Lord Jesus Christ for his purpose. He takes us and blesses us with the assurance of his love to guide us and protect us through this earthly journey, no matter what the cost. When he took us and accepted us, he began his process of changing us into his image. He is preparing us for our heavenly home by giving us a new spirit and a new heart of flesh. This changing process requires the breaking of all old traditions, habits, and demonic strongholds not compatible with our new lives with him. Even after we have become Christians, there may still be demonic influences in our lives that need to be dealt with. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the harvest, is the only one with the resurrection power that can and will make the necessary changes to our submitted vessel, changing our nature into his glorious nature. To understand what his nature is like, we can get some insight from the scriptures in the book of John, when Jesus revealed himself to John the Baptist. John chapter 1, 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John did not say, "Behold, the Son of God." He saw a Lamb. And Revelation 13, 8 says, "The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world." I am sure John belted out with great enthusiasm and excitement, "Behold," meaning take notice, stop what you're doing, look. Keep in mind, John had been kept in the wilderness and trained up in the ways of God by God himself. God kept him separated from the doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees of that day. God wanted no denominational man-made doctrines to influence John in any way. God taught John about himself through nature, learning the nature of the Creator, God himself. All those years growing up, John had an incredible fellowship with God. He knew this was not only the greatest event in the history of the world, but it was what he had waited for his entire life. He knew this event would happen, and now it was here. He heard and saw the long-awaited promise to mankind. This must have been the most exciting moment of his life, experiencing the presence of God and having the reality of it confirmed to him in the midst of all those people he was baptizing. The time had come when God could now be reconciled with man, finally setting him free of the bondage of sin once and for all. God exposed that his character and nature was that of a lamb through the lips of John when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The character of a lamb is sacrificial, long-suffering, kind, and gentle. Lambs need a shepherd. They know his voice and submit to it. They come up and touch the shepherd at least once a day because they trust him for his protection and hunger for his love and compassion. This is the nature we must be changed into. The characteristics of an animal determine its nature. John did not see much of this type of nature in the people of his day, nor do we in the people of our day. We were born with the nature of a predator, come forth from the womb speaking lies that lead to all manner of evil. Scripture tells us there will be no liars or any such people in heaven. We must be born again and changed to having his same nature, that of a lamb. We were always his, but we needed a nature change. John saw this becoming a reality similar to the caterpillar changing into the butterfly. Ezekiel chapter 36 was coming alive to John, showing a new spirit and a new heart changes our desires and motives, helping us to obey his statutes and commandments. Our choice, made by love and inspiration, not by fear of going to hell. John saw us becoming a new creation on the inside and changing us to a brand new man on the outside. Things of this world would soon all die out and we would be free from all the strongholds sin had put on us. Even our bad habits will easily change to good ones simply by replacing them with good ones we enjoy more and are more meaningful. John saw us with the new nature of a lamb, with the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. With our new nature, we can really love everyone, even our enemies. This will not even require effort, as we just love naturally. We become love, as he is love. Our God of self, or our old wolf nature, as Ezekiel called it, must be dethroned. The old nature resists having a master and is ruled by pride. It is not humble and is predatory. It studies its prey, appearing to be protecting it. That nature protects its rights and craves worship, destroying hope for others. A famous saying in the world is, "Keep your friends close and your enemies closer." This is deceitful and predatory. It is the exact opposite of gentleness and loving. Jesus is the model of being gentle and caring with great compassion. Psalms 23 tells us he is the great shepherd, yet John saw him as a lamb. The lamb and the shepherd are interchangeable as they have the same nature. That is the nature Boaz saw in Ruth, very much like his own nature. This nature is what made Ruth the virtuous woman people witnessed. The lamb and the shepherd are one with the same desires, the same purpose, and the same voice speaking the same word. They have the same characteristics. A shepherd of natural sheep has a name for each one of his flock. He can feed and protect them because he knows their needs. They trust him to guard their lives. Most sheep need to walk up to their shepherd and feel the gentle, loving touch of their master at least once daily. This describes our relationship with our Lord Jesus. Oh, how we need to feel his loving, personal touch at least once a day. That touch is more valuable than anything else in the universe. There is nothing like it. It is so personal you could never explain it in a million years. It is only felt between you and him. To experience this, we must allow him to dethrone the God of self off our hearts and exchange it for his humble, gentle nature as that of a lamb. Our Lord took the responsibility to change our likes and dislikes. This can only be done by the supernatural power of God. We cannot do this ourselves. He has to break these demonic strongholds and habits from the inside out, which sometimes can be painful. An illustration of this type of breaking takes place with wild horses having their spirits broken, allowing them to be purposeful to their master. When they are wild, they can be so beautiful, running free across the land, but they are of no use to man, not even to ride. The owner has to sometimes painfully break the spirit of the horse to make it of use to him. The best results of this breaking are when it is done with love and grace. After a while of working with the horse and exercising much patience, a bond begins to form between the man and the horse. The horse eventually learns the voice of his master and becomes extremely obedient and trustworthy. The horse would now accept the purpose of his master as his own. The more they were together, the stronger the trust and obedience would develop until it was an all-out love for each other. The horse changed from the inside out. Interestingly, the nature of the horse, including its likes and dislikes, are so changed that it has no more desire for the past life. When Ruth went down to the threshing floor in obedience to Naomi, the type of the word giving her instruction, she risked her reputation as a virtuous woman throughout the whole city of Bethlehem. She did not know if the Lord of the harvest would even accept her, but she was willing to try no matter what the cost. She committed with her very life. Naomi told her to go to the threshing floor and mark the place where Boaz laid down. Oh, how we need to mark the place of Calvary where Jesus laid down, never to forget what he did for us. His love went on public display for the redemption of his people, as was required by law in the redemptive process. We need to mark our spot when we lay down our lives with him for his love and his purpose. Regardless of the circumstances, never forget it. Naomi told Ruth to cover herself with a corner of the garment that covered Boaz. We need to be willing to cover ourselves with the same cover that was on Jesus when he lay down in the tomb, drink from the same cup of persecution that he drank from, and be baptized with the same baptism that he was baptized in. When Boaz awoke and saw Ruth, he told her to cover up in the blanket and rest. Ruth went to where Boaz was resting. Jesus was resting in the tomb when we marked our spot. Even though there was another near kinsman, Naomi, the word of instruction told her that Boaz would not rest until the full redemption process was completed. Remember, Ruth was on the threshing floor in the middle of the proverbial storm where her faith was to be tested. A hurricane can be destructive and dangerous, but the eye or the center of it is very calm and peaceful. Most people, even when they get in the eye of the storm, do not move. They stay in the same spot only to have the eye move away. They get caught in the backlash of the other side of the storm. There are storms every day of our lives. The only peace in these storms is right in the center of them. That is where we find the presence of Christ. The storm keeps moving, and we have to keep moving with the living Christ to stay in the calm. Yet we who live carnally have no wisdom concerning the way the wind blows. We must continue trusting his supernatural presence, leading us with the mind of Christ to perfect rest. Boaz told Ruth she was a virtuous woman, and she replied, "But thou art a near kinsman." She was telling him she did not come to him for an immoral reason. She came looking for redemption from a near kinsman. This is the perfect type of the New Testament born-again Gentile church converts. Boaz, the Lord of the harvest, laid down his reputation to have Ruth for his bride. Ruth laid down everything and covered herself with the same blanket. She had to be redeemed. No one has ever been broken more than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He laid down his reputation and left glory to come pay the price of our redemption with his own blood. He did it willingly because of his unconditional love. After the breaking, we become one with his purpose in working the works of God, as we are now seated in heavenly places with our Lord and Master. John 6:28-29. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do, that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent."